We come to the reading of God's Word, and I'm going to read a passage of Scripture, Matthew 11. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, I encourage you to do so. Matthew 11, I'll start at verse 11 and read through verse 30. This is an account in a day of our Lord's ministry. Let us pay attention to the reading of God's holy word, starting at Matthew 11, verse 11. Truly I say to you, among those born of women there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates. We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. For John came, neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds. Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Lord, your word is before us. Please give to me those words that will encourage us, that will be accurate and true to the text. Help us now as we meditate on this moment in our Lord's ministry to be astounded at the Savior you have provided in Jesus, our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, I've known this service was coming for a bit, and so I took some time to think about what text might I go to. And so I was thinking about some of the recorded times when Jesus gives thanks. And this is one of those. There are others. He thanks God as he asks God to bless the food at the feeding of the 5,000, the 4,000. We can remember that he also prays and gives thanks to his Father at the tomb of Lazarus. And this is another one of those occasions here in Matthew 11. And I want us to reflect a little bit about this. I'm going to give some just simple points, but I think very important points. We're obviously not going to get into all the details of this, because of some of the concepts that are mentioned in the text. But let's just start. And the first thing I want to remind us of is Jesus gives thanks in the midst of a situation which looks like failure. And so can we. And so can we. He stands as an example of that. But in what I read, starting about verse 11, particularly 16 through 24, Jesus is addressing a crowd. And the situation is that he is in a certain place, but the chapter started, I didn't read this part, but the chapter starts with the knowledge now that John the Baptist is in Herod's jail. And so he sends disciples to Jesus, and he's got a question, and it's a very important question. His disciples are to come, and they are to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Because what John thought would be true of the Messiah's coming does not appear to be happening. And so here, this one that Jesus says is the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, no one is greater than he, because John is the forerunner to the Messiah. Even John is doubting. His disciples are doubting. And Jesus is addressing a crowd in front of him, and he's saying to them, "You disrespected John. You didn't listen to his message. I come with at least a radically different appearance, presenting the message of the kingdom of God, and you don't care for me. You call me drunkard. You call me a glutton. You call me a friend of sinners." Thank the Lord he is. And so Jesus is addressing who knows how many people in front of him, and it looks like things are going terrible. Nobody is responding as they should. The people are not paying attention. I'm sure the leaders are scoffing. That is, your scribes and your Pharisees. And so he even gets to the place where he denounces certain of these cities because of their lack of response. These cities like Capernaum had seen enormous amounts of miracles. The lame walking, the blind seeing, the deaf hearing. All of these things have been going on, and they don't care. They are not responding, and it looks like failure. The ministry of Jesus seems to be failing, but the text says he gave thanks. By the way, what was this dreadful sin of the countrymen? It was simply indifference. And I say that because is that not a lot of what we encounter in our world today? People that they're not hitting you, they're not spitting on you, they're not torturing you in some ways. You bring a message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and they are indifferent. Good for you, I will go my own way. And so this is really a very relevant situation. Jesus giving thanks even when the situation looks like it is failing. And so let's take a look secondly. Jesus gives thanks because he knows the God of this current situation. And so can we. Matter of fact, this is precisely what we must have, a relationship with Jesus' Father. It's very interesting. Jesus in the text, picking up now again at verse 25, in those opening verses 25, 26, 27, right in there, Jesus addresses God by the name Father five times. Matter of fact, it's the most popular address that he gives to God, his Father. And he regularly says that. And of course, we all know this is how he taught us to pray. We are to come to God, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and so on. But it's important. Jesus knew that God was his Father, as well as there's another title that's important here. He says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. That means what Jesus saw in front of him, the crowds and his interactions with them, all operating on this plane, the plane of the earth, so to speak. Foundational to his way of thinking was, my Father is Lord of all of this and is in control of all of this. And so he has total peace about this reality. He could and did look at God, his Father, and call him Abba, Father. We can know this too, and we're supposed to know that. We're supposed to know God with assurance that you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, you're our Savior. You have brought us into your family. We are adopted sons and daughters. And this is the foundation of the joy, the peace, the confidence that Jesus can have, even in these times. He is the Lord, our Father is the Lord of heaven and earth, of all things above and below. He is in charge of innumerable angels. He controls the sparrows that fly around us. He orders all things everywhere according to the good pleasure of his will. He is never arbitrary. He is never unjust. He is never tyrannical. He is in absolute control of what is going on here. Jesus knows that. And it enables him, in the midst of a difficult situation, to still turn to the Lord and say, I thank you. I thank you. Matthew Henry, the famous commentary about this text, says, we may take great encouragement in looking upward to God when round about us we see nothing but what is discouraging. It is sad to see how regardless most men are of their own happiness. That is, it's sad to look out and see most people walking apart from God without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's comfortable to think that the wise and faithful God will, however effectually, secure the interest of his own glory. He said, I thank you, the Lord Jesus did. And so, here is that application for us. Is the assurance of your relationship with the living God that of the Father, the Lord of heaven and earth? This idea of God's sovereignty, of his directing all things for your encouragement, for your protection, for your guidance in life, doing these things. It is a reason for the giving of thanks. We are constantly tempted to look on that level of the earth for the sparkle, the glitter of the world, and try to find some kind of satisfaction in that. And it will never last. It will be a relationship with the living God as Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that enables us to give thanks, even as Jesus did. And then what's interesting is, thirdly, so Jesus looked around and saw what seemed to be disaster and gave thanks as we can. He did so because the situation he's looking at is a situation under the careful control, the complete control of his Father in heaven, who is doing things right for him. And thirdly, Jesus gives thanks and returns to the work to which he was called. And so can we. It is so interesting that the verse is right before verse 25, where he says, I thank you, Father. He is denouncing cities for their unbelief. He thanks his father and prays to his father, and then he turns and he issues perhaps one of the greatest invitations in all of Scripture. He looks at these people in love and in confidence that his father is continuing to control and work, and he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There was another time when Jesus gave thanks, which is recorded for our benefit, actually more than one time. And if you're a regular attender and member of this church, you hear his thanksgiving twice a month. You might say, "Well, I'm wondering what you're talking about." Well, it is the words he said that we repeat at the Lord's Supper. Has it ever dawned to you? Talk about a situation of which Jesus was fully knowledgeable. He is about to be betrayed. He's about to have his disciples dispersed and flee from him. He's about to be taken capture, wrongfully judged in a supposed court. He is about to be mocked, scourged by the Roman soldiers. He is about to be spit upon, taken out, stripped naked, nailed to a cross, and crucified. And listen, just in light of that, let's just hear him say, just hours before those events got started, Matthew 26 records, Jesus, while they were eating, took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, wow. I keep trying to put these thoughts together. When he took the cup and gave thanks and he said, "Drink of it, this is my blood of the covenant." He knows clearly what is going on. And we could repeat this out of Mark, who records it that way. Luke records it. The fourth time and that Paul records things, they all include this. He gave thanks. What kind of God do we have this morning? What kind of God is there? What kind of God will go with us now and forevermore? Who knows very shortly of his betrayal and all the false accusations and all that I went through. And he takes the cup and he gives thanks. "I will shed my blood for such people as this, for such people as me, for such people as you." He is thankful to be the only mediator between God and men. He is thankful to be our advocate. He is thankful to be our Savior. He is thankful to be our great high priest. He is thankful to be the great descendant of King David, now greater, King of kings and Lord of lords, and coming again to set all things right. Today he still looks at us all and says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He still delights in the ministry that he has accomplished, in the gospel he has confirmed, and now we are able to go with that message. Let us also learn from him and rejoice in him and go through not just today as a day of thanksgiving, but all of our lives to be thankful for Jesus bringing us to God, faith in him, bringing us to the God so that we can call him Father, Abba, Father. Let's go to Him in prayer at this time. Lord, once again, by the power of Your Word and Spirit, bring to our minds the incredible, what shall we say, the incredible truth, the incredible significance, the incredible accomplishment of what You have done for people who originally did not care. We were Your enemies. We were guilty. We were sinners. In every way, we had demerits against us. In every way, we presented reasons for You to have nothing to do with us. Instead, You, O God, have come, and with delight and thanksgiving have endured the cruelest of punishments, even enduring the curse of this Father on Him for our sin. You have done it. Increase our faith. Increase our joy. Increase our desire to give You thanks. Increase our desire to tell others this good news. Even in whatever situation it may be, whatever the appearance is, let us be thankful to You and faithful to tell others about You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.